love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts, Mace and Cam.
What's good, man?
What's happening, man? You all right?
Yeah, man. I tried to sneak and wear purple.
Look like you work here to win. I had purple on yesterday. He said, excuse me, sir, which way? I said, I don't work here, man. What are you talking about? Which way your son, man?
He thought you was a part of hospitality.
Yeah, they got, you know, some of them niggas be wearing purple blazers and shit. I said, look at my pants, Paul. I have on a suit. Them niggas shit don't be matching. They just got the purple blazer and shit. I bought something in case you would need to, if you're ashy, it's for you.
Crazy.
It's actually for you. That's why I kept
you
it out while the show was on. So you don't have to be accident.
Yeah. Because
I don't like you. I don't like you. The nigga came in yesterday.
You bring him in cocoa butter came, now, Cam?
It's not cocoa butter.
What
is
it?
It's shea butter. yesterday, you asked for somebody for some lotion. They said, all we got is Vaseline. And you thought about it. So I kept it out before the show started purposely. Just because you my brother.
Crazy.
I don't like you asking niggas for Vaseline. You don't know and all that, man.
Paul, so, let me see what it is.
Yeah, hey, man. Yeah.
Shea butter.
I get you some, man. You know, I know the people who make it. You know, let me tell you something.
This says for him with love.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Get that back then. He said, yep, you can take this back.
Yeah. So let me tell you, it's women's and men's.
What's the backstory, boss?
The backstory is this. You know how many people want to be sponsors on this show? So I say, let me see your product. I got all type of shit in the house.
Niggas, I knew it wasn't just me.
I got all type of food being sent to the house. All type of shit. Yo, can we be a sponsor on the show? Yo, can we be a sponsor? Free clothes, free everything. And listen, I'm not just taking you guys' stuff. I got to test the marketplace and see if it works out. So... you know, I'll bring certain things to Mason, see if he's interested in it. So I'm not just taking y'all guys' product and like Cam just using it.
Let me see. Let's see on the show right now.
Yeah. So.
Because me, actually, this looks like, let's see.
Yeah, man, listen. They want to, I'm not going to tell you how much they want to pay. They have for children, man. They actually make deodorant, all type of shit. But, you know, I get a lot of free shit.
Oh, is it smooth?
Yeah. Listen, I wouldn't have bought it on the show if I didn't like the product. But is it strong enough to fit the show? Pause. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I don't mean to be rude, but we're at the age where we're expensive and we're unreasonable. And I don't mean to be like that. But, you know, you got to know your value. But I'm always willing to help out people who have good product. Who don't necessarily have the money as well, neither. Now, if you got the money, we're going to talk to you. But even if you don't, I'm willing to work with you. The reason why I haven't pursued it so much, I don't know if Mace is willing to work with you without the money. Without the money. He doesn't throw any pity parties. So I'm not sure if it's going to work with them without the money,
Cam?
It depends on who it is. Way I would do it is this. And I'm just teaching y'all some business. I'll give you an example, right? So, for instance, right? People, I'll use, and there's a bunch of different scenarios, but I'll just use beats, for instance, right? Music beats, like your instrumental, if Mace raps or I rap on it, whatever. So sometimes I do freestyles or whatever, and sometimes people want money. Sometimes people want to be tagged. So if you want the money, fine. Don't ask me to tag you if you took the money. So when I know it's not the same scenario as here, but I'm saying me tagging you may be worth more than me giving you the original money, because sometimes people might be like, hey, yo, hold on. I won't fuck with them if they fucking with them. Or, and then you may get 20 niggas who want to buy your beats as opposed to me just paying you once and nobody know who you are. Same thing, I get custom sneakers. I'll pay the full price for custom sneakers. Yo, you could tag me? No, you didn't give me a discount. You didn't say, yo. You didn't say, yo, yo, Cam, pay half and just tag me. That's business. So at the end of the day, you want me to pay you and help you make some more money and not going to look out for me. What am I getting out the deal? So when I say less fortunate, sometimes people have good stuff. They don't have the opportunity or the outlet or so on and so forth. And some people just don't know how to do business.
Yeah.
You'll rather take $700 from me when you could potentially make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 off just a tag. So different scenarios. Sorry to go be long-winded about it, but yeah.
Fair point. No, good lessons learned. But somebody who might need to learn a lesson is the Lakers, because they blew a 20-point lead, losing to the Nuggets 101-99. Jamal Murray hit the game winner, and the Nuggets have now beaten the Lakers 10 straight times. How do you guys feel about the crazy ending and that stat?
Man, I was so close to saying AD had a phenomenal game. And then I turn on the TV and he's falling in the crowd.
At
with
the
Murray hitting a shot over him. I'm serious. I was like, this is the game. This is what I'm talking about all through the game. I'm looking. I'm saying this is exactly what AD needs to be for the Lakers. And I was also about to say that this was kind of the role that I was talking about LeBron taking. I think when I first turned on the game, he had about 12 with 11. With 11 assists, and I was like, this is the type of LeBron that they need in order to be very effective at this stage in his career. When he takes on the role of being a facilitator, it makes AD play a little bit better. And we saw that yesterday. We saw that, you know, even AD, he had 32 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. I mean, you know, the shot that Murray hit over him was crazy. It kind of nullified all of that. But I think he had a great game. And Michael Porter Jr., this is the Michael Porter Jr. I thought I would see before he had the back injuries when he got there. At one point, they were saying he would be like the next LeBron. He didn't live up to that just yet. But he's playing really well there. And Joker, what can we say? Skills on wheels. 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists. I'm real interested to look back at what we predicted because it seemed like everything we talked about kind of happened. What do you think, Cam?
Say what? What's the surprise? Niggas thought Denver was going to be up 2-0. I gave the Lakers one game in this series.
Yeah.
You know, so... The most shocking part about it is the comeback pause, because the Lakers looked totally in control for three quarters. Like you said, AD came out looking good. LeBron was looking good. It was a period during the second quarter where LeBron was gassed. He had to go to the bench, like subbed him out. He went to the end of the bench. He was gassed. And I was like, damn, man, these niggas got to help out LeBron, bro. They have to help LeBron out. And they did a good job. I think D'Lo had 6 threes in the first half.
Yeah.
He had a terrible performance the first game. He came back out first half, shut niggas up, hit 6 threes. I think he believes he was 6-for-10 throughout the whole game. I mean, pardon me, throughout the first half. And I was like, wow, he's looking really good. Pardon me if those numbers aren't right, but I know he did hit 6 threes. And I was like, okay, niggas may come here and steal one.
Yeah.
And
it was definitely looking that way.
Yeah, Anthony Davis looked really good, like you said. But I said to myself, they not going to win at halftime. And I did.
Even when they got up 20 or 17 points, I believe, you still thought they weren't going to win?
I wasn't going to win. I just didn't believe it. Y'all think about it. The Joker had a double-double in the first quarter. Yo, the nigga had 11 points and 10 rebounds in the first quarter. So even like, you know what it is, Murder? It's like we sit here and we look at AD stats and they say, yo, he had a great game. You know, he had
27-20.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Anthony Davis part me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on mistake.
30-11.
Yeah, you got 32. That's a great game.
That's a great game.
But you sit there and you go joke a triple, a walking European triple-double, B. That nigga's a triple fucking double walking. And it's just, to me, it's not really much to dissect here outside of LeBron looking spectacular, Jamal Murray looking spectacular, Joker. The stars out. The stars are out. And I don't know what more the Lakers can do because they look sensational for three quarters.
Yeah.
And
yeah, those are the games you don't want to lose.
You don't want to lose that.
You play very well. So it's like, what you going to do differently next time? You got the maximum effort out of AD and you still lose.
Yeah, and but you got to think about it too. What I'm looking at here, when I was looking actually before we started taping, is the plus minus with AD on the floor. It's zero. So they wasn't up or they wasn't there. They don't gain anything with AD on the floor. It's zero. So when he's on the floor, it's not an advantage. It's as good as a game that he's having.
We don't lose, but we don't win.
Right, exactly, exactly. So,
when they say is zero, is that overtime?
Well, let's look at it.
How would you look at that? Does that mean we go to overtime?
I look at the other players. You got Hachimura, I don't want to say his name wrong, -7. Dinwiddie, -9. Hayes, -1. Well, everybody else was a plus on the floor outside for the Lakers. With LeBron on the floor, they was just +2. Let's look at the Joker, though. This was pretty bad for through night because the game was going back and forth. Joker was only +1 tonight, to be totally honest with you. Jamal Murray was a -2. But AD can't be negative or positive. It's crazy. It needs to be at least a +4, +5, +6 with AD on the floor. You know, it was a time, and I don't know if people remember this because we don't remember 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
AD was all world.
Yeah, he was like that in New Orleans.
Right. AD was all world. This is the reason why LeBron James and Rich Paul went so hard for us to get AD. And they were like, listen, LeBron James, as much as me personally, I'm one of them stick with your own team. If you make it happen. I'm not one of them. I'm going to trade here. I'm going to try and win over there. If y'all want to come where I'm at, we can figure it out. But I'm not mad at the players doing that also because you're in a situation now where you can control your destiny, so to speak, in 2, 3, 4 years, depending on what your contract is.
Yeah.
It's fucked up when you play. Well, we talked about this maybe a week or two ago when an owner could just trade you. So now when you're controlling your destiny, I'm like, this is kind of dope. I don't know if I would do it, but I respect it because there's so many players who got traded in their sleep. They get on a plane in LA, and when they land, they on a different team. So I respect it, but they went really hard to get AD, LeBron and Rich Paul, that is. And it got, don't get me wrong, got them a championship in the bubble. And I respect the bubble championship. To me, that's pure basketball. Even though the crowd helps you at home or works against you on the road, whatever it is, that was pure basketball for me. But you ain't winning in the Staples Center or crypto, whatever the fuck it's called now. You got to win at home, my nigga. And it doesn't look like y'all are going to do it. Looks like Denver got y'all number. And what this game does, it fucks you up mentally. Because you said we did everything we could possibly do and we still don't win. So this is really a mental win also for Denver and a fucked up mental loss for the Lakers, in my opinion.
Well, unless you have another comment.
No.
Okay, also speaking of the Lakers and AD, so the finalists for Defensive Player of the Year was announced, which is Rudy Gobert, Wemby, and Bam. Mm. So basically, in discussions, this is AD's 12th season without even being the running for the trophy. So he said, I'll never get it. They're not giving it to me. The league doesn't like me. I'm the best defensive player in the league. I can switch 1 through 5. I can guard the pick and roll the best in the league from a big standpoint. I block shots. I rebound. I don't know what else to do. I'm over it. I'm just going to do what I got to do to help the team win and try to play for a championship. Accolades and individual awards, I'm done with those.
Who said that?
AD. This was like right before, you know, this
right
game.
Before that shot
well,
was hit on?
Well, this is when it was released, right before this game. So
oh my goodness. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, yeah, yesterday, what we should do later on is go over all the finalists for ever, because the finalists came out for all the awards, MVP, Sixth Man of the Year,
Rookie
Defensive
the year,
Player, Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sorry, Mace, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, I think AD is a great defender. It's just not against Denver. I think something happens against Denver, because even when you look at his stats, they don't have blocks here. I mean, when you say you're doing well on defense, I look for steals. I look for and I look for blocks, especially from a big man. And you can kind of count the rebounds, because some of it could be changing shots and getting a rebound. So I look into that. But how do you make that kind of gripe and complaint and then get the game-winning shot hit on you? It just makes no sense. Like, if you're playing great defense, he got a chance to shoot. To prove it, he said he played well off the pick. Well, this last play was a pick-and-roll play. Not even a pick-and-roll. He act like he was going for a pick-and-roll, came to the right side, and just hit a silly, like, school crossover. I could have done that. Step back and shot the jump shot, a mid-range. And that's supposed to be in the stands, AD. We just telling you the truth, AD. And I think if he never goes to the Lakers, all this pressure wouldn't be on him. Everything we're saying is because you're in a Laker uniform. If you were in New Orleans, it wouldn't matter. You guys will actually be better, too.
Yeah, what I have to say is Mace kind of took the words out of my mouth. You don't play good defense against the Joker.
Yeah.
You lost 10 straight games. The nigga's having triple-doubles on you. He's disrespecting you in the playoffs, the regular season, and anything else. Y'all have not beat the Lakers. Lakers have not beat Denver since 2022, wow. December. So that means the whole 2023 y'all lost. We almost halfway through 2024, and you guys still not. AD, they're monitoring you against the Joker, all right? I don't know if you play good defense against Portland. I don't fucking know, nigga. You're being monitored upon the best against the best. And when you play the best, you're not getting the job done.
Did you see the move that Joker Paul's put on him on the box?
Yeah.
When he spent them out of his shoes?
Yeah, spent on him. He ain't got no footwork. Nigga, man, listen, bro.
That was crazy. That was worse than Olajuwon with Shaq.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to go there. Lajuwon got a lot of disrespect.
No, I mean, that one move he did on Shaq. I said this one was worse than that.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Shaq. You're fam, Shaq.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even about Shaq. I just, when I go think about Lajuwon, the shit he did, Patrick Ewing, Lajuwon on that box was just a different nigga. I put Kevin McHale right after Olajuwon, if you
what
ask
was
me
that about. Move, though? That move, did you see the move that the Joker put on?
Oh, no. The reason I like that move, you're absolutely right. It was incredible, because a lot of times people accuse the Joker of not having footwork and just being big and gaudy pause and just getting in there, you know, just a big old galoot, so to speak. And that was footwork. That was really footwork.
That was crazy.
He put him
in a blender on the box.
Yeah, he was on Ice Capades on the box. Nigga, put him in Ice Capades, man. So it was really good. But when it comes to defensive player of the year, and AD complained about it, they gonna see what you do against the Joker, and it's not getting the job done. So
he was in front of the basket. By the end of the move, he was behind the Joker. So that's crazy right there. Crazy footwork.
Kind of hard to vouch for him when we're seeing what's happening on the TV. So, sorry, y'all.
And then they hit the shot over him. He falls in.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Denver bench. It's like,
it's not giving Defensive Player of the Year. It's just not.
He's giving super disrespectful.
And then secondly, no disrespect, but like, yo, who's out to get you? Like, nigga, like, yo, they just don't like me. Who, nigga? Nobody's against you. Yo, bro, what are you talking about? I dig it. They not feeling me, and they're not looking. Yo, bro, niggas is looking. Pause. Nobody's after you. I hate when niggas act like it's a witch hunt. after just them.
It's a conspiracy. Yeah, it's like Illuminati.
Yeah, like, yo, nigga.
Every time a nigga win, it's Illuminati.
Yeah, like, yo, my nigga, nobody has a personal gripe against you. You lose to the Joker in Denver every time. This is not personal. Niggas, a lot of people I know do that. They always find somebody to blame for their mistakes instead of taking accountability and saying, yo, you know what? I don't even want defensive player until I do what I got to do against this nigga.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're
right, that would be the right mindset.
Yeah, you got to take accountability.
Good points. Okay, the Sixers lost their second game to the Knicks 104-101. The Sixers plan to file a grievance with the NBA over the officiating across the first two games of the series. So one, what do you guys think about that? And then do you guys think that the Sixers have the capability to win the series?
Well, let me start by saying I'm ready to order my Nick Kiff jacket now. I'm officially ready to order my jacket. I know, it might be time. After how they finished that game, I was proud of the Knicks, you know. They were down late, and they didn't give up. That says a lot about what they believe. And just when you beat a Sixer team that got Embiid scoring in the 30s and Maxey scoring, what, he had about 30 probably too. And then...
He had 35.
Yeah, when you beat a team and they're scoring that great, it's not like they didn't play their best and you won. And you figured it out. I like teams that figure it out. And this Knicks team is playing their heart out for Tom Thibodeau. I don't know what he told them or what they got going. And maybe just the Villanova pieces, because it seemed like it's all Villanova on the wings. So it's like, could you imagine playing with all the niggas you played with in college or, you know, in your teenage years in the NBA? That got to be crazy. So it's like when they're playing together, they know each other. It's a special bond in their paws. They're able to just accomplish things that they wouldn't be able to do on their own. That's what I think. I think they're going to beat the Sixers. I know Cam said they're losing in seven, but I'm going to go with the Knicks.
Well, it depends on the next game, me personally. I think that congratulations to the Knicks, of course. I'm from New York. I want the Knicks win. I'm just not going to build my hopes up to let them down in the second game of the first round. I got a video on my Instagram for 2-3 years ago when I was in the suite, jumping up and down, acting crazy, screaming at the top of my lungs. And I'm not doing that no more. I'm not setting myself up for failure now. I'm cheering from afar, like, let's get it done. But I've done business with the Knicks. You've done business with the Knicks. You go to the Garden. Whenever we want to go to the Garden, it's just a lot of, you know, every year, Tracy Morgan, Chris Rock, fucking whoever else is over there, we going to do it. And listen, I'm one of them, but I'm not going to keep doing that. But I will. I'm not going to subject myself to that. Yeah, I'm fucking 1 foot in the ground. I'm not doing this and set myself up for failure, nigga. I'm almost a half a ticket, nigga. What the fuck are you talking about? But what I will say is this, is that the reason why this was, and we'll see, the reason why I said I want to see what happens the next game is because, to me, this was a great mental win for Philly, actually, because you got Joel on a bum knee scoring 34 points. Tyrese Maxey had a cold. He was questionable to even play. He didn't come to shoot around or anything today, pardon me, last night, and he had 35 points. And to be honest, you were still up 2 points with 20-something seconds left. I don't know what it's about, if they didn't call timeout or the ref didn't see them call timeout or anything else, but they didn't get the timeout. The Knicks scored. They were down two. Under the basket with under 30 seconds left, they're trying to get the ball in bounds. And if you would call a timeout, if you're the Sixers, you would get the ball advances to half court. You don't lose the ball right underneath your own basket. Knicks basket.
That's high school.
Right. And then, you know, that's young life. Let's go get it.
You're a professional. You're supposed to know better than that.
Yeah, you call timeout. So that way, even if you don't get the shot, the Knicks have to advance the ball back down court. I mean, not advance the ball, take the ball back down court after they, if Philly were to miss. So first of all, you don't call timeout. You're stressing for a foul that you don't get. The Knicks miss the first three. You don't secure a defensive rebound, so they get a second chance to shoot another three.
Yeah, niggas falling with the ball and all that.
Yeah, so to me, and I know they're complaining that they still called timeout, but they didn't get it. That's really on the coach. You have to walk up to the referee and say, I said timeout. Not screaming, not anything. Walk up to the sideline referee and say timeout. That's what I really believe is that. Not saying the Knicks didn't win this game, but to me, Philly gave it away more. But I would say this. If Joel Embiid gains more confidence, because he looked really confident compared to how he looked on in game one, this could be a problem. This could really be a problem. And to be honest with you, I know we've really been pumping that Jalen Brunson has been the best player, not just as a guard, but probably the best player in the East Coast over the last 2 to 3 months, minimum. But it looked like Tyrese Maxey got something to say about that. Because Jalen Brunson, he's don't get me wrong, he's scoring 22, 24, he's getting his points, but he hasn't been playing good. And that's also a great sign for the Knicks, that you're still pulling these games off with Jalen Brunson not playing good. But it looked like Tyrese Maxey saying, I don't know what all this Jalen Brunson shit is about. I think I'm the best guard on the East Coast. And so far, he's been out playing Jalen Brunson, even though the Knicks have been winning. But I will say this about the 76ers. Last before, and this be my last statement. I don't know if Mace has something else to say. It's no reason in the world that Kyle Lowry should be the third best player on the floor. It's for the 76ers. It's no reason. At 38 years old. It's no reason he should be the third best player in the world.
Who else is on that team?
Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
The light-skinned nigga that took James Harden shorty.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about the light-eyed.
Kelly Oubre. Buddy Hill.
Yeah.
Why is Kyle Lowry doing better than all y'all? Look, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, what happened to Buddy Hill?
He had 2 points in 16 minutes. Look, the thing about it is this. I don't know who fumbled the ball in Philly, and I don't remember. I will have to do some homework on it. This is just off the top of my head, pause, just remembering.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened that y'all didn't re-sign Jimmy Butler when he was there for that half a season? Why did y'all, what was the Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, seesaw pause thing?
They went with Tobias.
And that's what I'm asking right now. Why? Why?
Doc.
Why would you go with Tobias
Doc Rivers,
Harris?
That was Doc Rivers' call.
Tobias Harris. Now you got to think about this. A lot of people don't remember because, like I said, niggas don't remember last night. They were a bounce around the rim Kawhi Leonard shot away from the championship when they played Toronto. They took him 7 games, and Kawhi Leonard made an incredible shot to send Philly home. Why would you not keep that team together? Now you got Tobias Harris. And people like Tobias Harris piss me off. And I don't, he could be one of the best people in the world. But when you're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", however tall he is, long arms, perfect poise, basketball body. And you don't, and you're just out there. You got Tyrese Maxey going all fucking crazy, doing everything he could do in the book at 6'2". 6'8", niggas just out there. Buddy Hill just out there. Kelly Oubre, you look great in the regular season. Now you just fucking missing. If this doesn't go right and they lose in the first round, whoever the GM is, outside of Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey, get rid of them niggas. What I would start doing is looking down in Atlanta, and one of them players I just named, possibly two, send them down to Atlanta and get Murray up there with the 76ers. And you'll have a way better offense, and maybe defense too, because they're not getting the job done. Kelly Oubre, decent season, not showed up so far. Tobias Harris been missing for years. He's just stealing money. And Buddy Hill, this isn't the Buddy Hill that I'm used to. So I would start looking to blow this team up if they don't get out the first round.
Yeah, and it wasn't Doc Rivers. I forgot the guy's name. But he was the guy that put Ben Simmons at the point. I think it was that same guy.
And then I was gonna add, you're absolutely right, because Tyrese Maxey is outplaying Jalen Brunson. And the fact that nobody on the Sixers scored over 10 points to me is insane, because, you know, they can't just rely on Embiid and Maxey. Other players are going to have to step it up. So, like you said, they're definitely going to have to start making changes to the team, because that's not going to work. And if they want the chance to win, other players need to start stepping up. So, with that being said—
Look. You got fucking Kyle Lowry scoring 8 and Kelly Oubre scoring 4. Come on, man. Nah. Come on. And listen, I'm not on that shit where Kyle Lowry can't play. He's good. Real good. He's a champion. Tremendous, tremendous career in Toronto. They're really decent in Miami. Great guy. But come on, bro. Y'all putting a lot of pressure on niggas that's been around a long time, and his younger legs pause that have been around. I mean, it hasn't have the mouths that Kyle Lowry has, and y'all not putting the effort in that he is.
Yeah, when you got to get 40 points from your point from the point guard position, that says a lot about your team. The team is extremely weak if you got to get 40 points from the point guard position. Especially if it's not Stephen Curry. Let me put that there.
Okay, so I want a definitive answer from the both of y'all. So MB said, we should be 2-0. We're good. We're going to win this series. What do you guys think? Yes or no?
Well, I'm not going to say yes or no. I'm going to say what...
You just said the Knicks are going to win.
And yeah, I'm saying, shit. But for this point, I'm going somewhere, Cam.
All right, my bad.
I'm saying
you want to land the plane. My bad.
Yeah, let me land my plane.
Yeah, man. Yeah, my bad.
Like this is the same guy that told us trust the process. I can't trust it. If he's telling me they're gonna win this series, I don't trust it. I'm actually going with the Knicks. I'm going with the Knicks, and I'm not even going with the Knicks in 7. I'm going with the Knicks in 6.
I think. And
that's a bold statement.
No, it is. It is. And you're jumping out the window a little bit more than me. Because I want to see the next game. I'll be honest with you. I really want to see how the next game is. Because at the end of the day, let's be realistic. What I seen tonight, pardon me, I keep saying tonight, but I seen last night was this. In between game 1 and game 2, game 1, I seen a scared Joel Embiid because of his surgically repaired knee. And he's saying he was scared. Tonight, last night I seen a nigga say, fuck it, if the knee gonna give out, it's gonna give out, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about a few weeks ago. I said, run that nigga, pause, let him go out there. Let him get out there and let's see what happened. And I like that mindset. Now, I'm totally in agreement with Mace when he's saying, this is your franchise player, sit him down, you don't want him to fuck his knee up. We've been doing this for 10 joints. Pause, sitting him down and getting it together and everything else. Look, I like his attitude. I like what he's saying. And let's see if his knee holds up throughout the series. That's what it's really about. But to have 34 points on a bum knee, and he's talking that talk, we'll see. Right now, I say this. Everything depends on the next game and the point difference, because we still haven't seen Jalen Brunson have a breakout game yet, and they won both games.
That's my point, because once he gets going, they're going to beat them even more decisively. And then who knows? Joel Embiid may end up in New York when it's all said and done. Joel and Brunson.
You just like saying anything, I think, sometime, man.
Hey, I'm saying, if they're going to blow the team up.
No, I said outside of Maxey and Embiid.
Oh, okay.
That was what I said.
Yeah,
I did
say that.
Yeah, I said outside of them two. But listen, man, congratulations to the Knicks, and I'm happy. But I will say this before I finish my last statement, and Mace has something else to say. Everything could be going good. Everything could be going great. Y'all can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can make it to the championship. You won't win until Spike Lee gets off the sideline. It's just the way it is. It won't happen. It won't happen until y'all put him up in the skybox or you let him watch from home. Until Spike Lee
is off the sideline,
the Knicks will never win. So I don't care how far you go, it won't be a trophy until Spike Lee gets off the sideline. And I'm dead serious.
So are you saying that if they move Spike Lee off of the sideline, they will win?
they'll have a better chance.
They have a better chance. Look, you gotta I'm just clearing that up. Because somebody here may think you're saying, as soon as Spike Lee goes, they win.
That's, I would bet on that more than right now. look, you know how annoying? Look, I go to the game. Look, I go to the game. First of all, it's a couple things. When I watch from home, Spike Lee annoys me from home. Come on, talking to niggas. Yo, Spike.
You saw him and Tim Thomas after they won?
Nah, I ain't see it. But look.
Shout out to Tim Thomas.
A lot of people don't know that Spike Lee almost cost the Knicks a playoff series when he was talking crazy to Scottie Pippen and these niggas. Then you talk crazy to Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller grabbed his dick in front of you and your wife and said, suck my dick, nigga. Score 8 points in like 4 seconds. Some wild shit. Because you talk. Then what happens is, you know, it's pre-internet, pre-social media. Spike Lee's on the front of the paper. The nigga who, if we lose, cause of him. People don't remember this. Front of the newspaper. If we lose, it's cause of this nigga right here.
I think that's when I left the Knicks for good. I think that was his series. When Reggie got the steal, that was it. The three came back in another three. I said,
Then what the nigga does is because he got so much ego, he goes to the next game in Indiana. Yeah, and the Knicks pull it off by the skin of their teeth. He on there hugging John Starks and these niggas. They all excited. Look, my nigga, you are a distraction. If I play for the Knicks, I would not speak to you. You are annoying. Don't tell me what to do. Why would you be talking? Get over there. No, Spike, I'm not listening to you, bro.
This is like when they let the rappers coach the basketball team.
And you got to think about it, Murder. Like, yo, when you think about it, like, before I get to that, that's why the point I was going to get to before. Spike is very animated on the side and everything. You go to the Garden, courtside, he's arrogant. He won't speak to you. Yo, Spike, what's up? And keep walking. Yo, my nigga, you're rude. You're rude, Spike. And listen, whatever. You're rude. You don't speak to people in the Garden. Then you get an attitude.
Spike don't speak to nobody?
He give you one of these brother man shit like.
What happened to do the right thing?
That's the problem. You know, Spike Lee. All right, you want to know my problem with Spike Lee real quick?
Yeah, because it sounds personal.
It ain't personal because, you know, I see him in the Garden when I go. He don't really speak to niggas. Personal. I don't like niggas who hate on other niggas' hustle, too. This has nothing to do with basketball. Now, look, some people may agree with what I'm about to say, but to me, it don't matter. Now, Spike Lee hates on Tyler Perry all the time. Talks about, yo, that ain't real effort in the movies. He ain't putting no real love into it and getting storyline right. He's cheating the system. And you hate on a nigga who was homeless in 2007 to becoming a billionaire till he got to exit off the highway, got his own studio. Eddie Murphy, Will Smith, Marlon, all these black people come to his studio to use his shit when this man was homeless in 2006, 2007. So Spike Lee always hates on him and be like, yo, his movies ain't all that, and this, that, and the third. You got to put the love into it. You know what I'm saying? And get the dive in the script. Look, Spike, some people like they food cooked in the oven. Some niggas take it in the microwave. Pause. If niggas want a quick microwave movie, fine. They got full. Niggas don't always want to wait for Thanksgiving and the yams to get done.
And the
macaroni.
And the neck bones.
Yeah, I already ate, man. I've been starving all day, Spike, for you trying to get this done. So I don't like that because however it works for you, it works for you. Whatever it takes for you to get your bag, get your bag. And Spike has a lot of hate. Not just that. I was just using that for an example. He's like a grumpy old man. So
you don't think it's like, I compare Spike and Tyler Perry to like Jesse and Obama.
Jesse Jackson?
Yeah, where you feel like you did all the groundwork.
Yeah.
But another nigga got all the light from it.
Yeah, well, listen, Spike ain't broke. You know.
I know, but you know, it's the same way. It's like he took it to another level.
Absolutely.
The level we wanted to take it to.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's a great comparison because it's kind of the same eras as well, also. But you know, you can't get mad up because wherever you came in. It's yeah. like it's like sin. I know we bring sin about 4 or 5 times a week on this show, but sin told me one day, I should have been born when Nicky Barnes and him was born. I should be dead by now. Can't fuck with this era. I should have been born with Frank Matthews and these niggas. I shouldn't even be it. I said, you be dead. He said, yeah, I know. But that's when I was supposed to have been here. And you can't get mad at wherever you grow up in. You got to take advantage of what's going on during the time that you're here. Right now, we can sit here and you know how much I could complain and be like, man, I had social media when I first started rapping, boy. Shit be crazy, nigga. You know, no, I'm not complaining, nigga. I'm going to figure out what I can do, how I can manipulate these all these different tools that's available now and use them to my advantage to where I can benefit from it instead of complaining about it. You know, every generation complains. You got niggas now, oh, it ain't no good music out, man. These young niggas, da, 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 da. Let them niggas be 19, 20, 21, 23, 25, 27. When we was 19, our mothers and fathers like, what is that rap shit? I could barely understand what they saying. Da, da, da. And I'm pretty sure they mother said, what is this rock and roll shit that y'all listening to? And it, like, it always goes like that. But we're at the age.
Yeah, they was telling us, pause, to pull our pants up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They telling them, don't wear girl stuff.
Right, exactly. So my point being is, we're at the age to where we grew up and our parents or grandparents or whoever, we had to face like, my nigga, yes. This ain't Andy Griffin, my nigga. Like, I don't want to watch this black and white, all this shit that they grew up on. And we should be the niggas not hating now. And I'm not saying let your kids run rampant and act stupid and not have no structure.
That is true.
And not have no
structure. We just hate it on the most.
Yeah, and not have no structure in your life. You have to have structure, but when they have their extracurricular and the shit that they like, don't hate on the shit that they like because we was hating on the shit that we like. You know what I'm saying? So even like when we be talking to Stat about shit, you know, we be fucking around, but you can't get mad because she likes what she likes, and we may not know it, and she may not know it. It's about learning from both ages because, listen, me and Mace had a conversation. That was one of our biggest clips, and it was all facts, and it got shared a lot on social when we was talking about rotary phones and all the other shit and everything yeah. else and shit the niggas did to us. That was, yo, you got to think real. Of how barbaric that is to put the lock on the zero. Y'all don't get it because you wasn't there. Y'all was wild. That's like y'all try to call
911.
Yeah, like yo, murder, hit me at 10:30 later on. I can tell you something. If I can, if the lock ain't on. Like, yo, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Like, so I don't like hating on people when it comes to extracurricular because I've been hating on. And I don't, yeah. you know, so you gotta accept. And like I said, especially with kids, now I'm not saying let them niggas go wild with their imagination. But if it makes a little bit of sense, even if it makes a little bit of sense, look into it and help them out and help them pursue their dreams if it makes a little bit of sense. If it don't make sense, you'd be like, well, go figure it out. Let me see. And after a while, yeah. you'd be like, no, this shit ain't working. Nigga, you got to realize, imagine us telling our parents we can be rap. Mace told his mother, God bless her, dead. He was going to be a rapper. Yo, shit went left, my nigga. Shit went all the way left, my nigga.
Mace, you want to throw your life away? Go ahead.
Mace was pouting in the hallway. Yo, let me sign the paperwork. Yo, it went left. It went left because niggas was like, that shit was so far-fetched. I remember telling my grandmother I'm going to do music. She said, well, you ain't going to be like baby faces. Right, y'all don't see what's about to, what's going on. You going to win them awards like baby face? Yo, what? Nah, grandma. This is some other shit I got going on. This ain't no baby face shit right here.
Yeah. Look, uncles and all.
Yo, I'm trying to
y'all
going to
be down there sniffing that cocaine in the studio.
Gad, if that's what you want to do. If that's what you
want. We don't have to sniff cocaine.
Gad, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sniff cocaine and make that music, just send their power. And she told him about the paperwork. I can't do it. You can't do it.
Yeah.
What you mean you can't do it? Because you got to, you know, this is before he got his big deal, pause.
Yeah.
You're under 18. You got to get a parent to sign for you and all that. She ain't going to do it. And it's good she didn't do it because it ended up turning out to be something bigger and better. Yeah. But the initial shit, no, sir. I was thinking, I was like, maybe I could say something. I see a look on her face. I said, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm leaving. And you better not even say nothing. So I don't like when people hate on other people's come up. So that's a little bit of my problem with Spike Lee, outside of him just being a jinx to the Knicks.
More you know. Well, we're going to go to break. When we return, we will discuss the Magic versus the Cavs. Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Suns will play the Timberwolves. Underdog Fantasy has Kevin Durant at 5.5 first quarter points. Jump higher or lower, Mace?
Higher. They got to stop playing with Kevin Durant now.
And Kevin Durant better stop letting niggas play with him.
Yeah, for real, KD.
KD, listen.
Come on, KD.
KD, listen, as your man. 5 points
in the first row. First quarter, KD, niggas is playing with your name.
Yeah, we not going to keep smiling everything off KD. You know, say shit, nigga. You know, KD got Dipset tattooed on him, nigga. Let's get to work, nigga. Let's get to work.
Okay. Devin Booker's at 24.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
He's another one. You better get to work. You better get to work. Higher. Higher.
Yeah, you got your signature sneaker, Book. Let's go, man.
It looked like, I'll say something before you get to the last, the last step.
And then Anthony Edwards is at 36.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Points, rebounds, and assists? 36? I'm going higher. Ant-Man is playing like, you know, he's giving us Jordan vibes, man. He's doing whatever he want to do out there.
I'm going to go higher, too. And that's why we're higher for Book and KD, because Ant-Man looked like he won it. Yeah. You know, even so higher, to answer your question for Underdog, Code Cam, if you're smart. Listen, I watched SGA and I watched Ant-Man game ones. And I was like, okay, these are the two prospects coming, potential next superstars. And SGA looked decent. He looked good, but he's a smooth nigga. He's like one of these smooth, you know, look like he like murder. Just do-rag when it's make sure his braids is tight every time, no cameras on. Just everything's perfect. Dress right. Ant-Man look like, listen, it's my league. It's my turn. So when I looked at both of them, they both had decent games, but Ant-Man shit was a little better. And actually, yeah, had a decent game too. But Ant-Man looked like he won it. He said it's going to be his league in 2 years, Murder. What you think? That's what he said out his mouth.
I think in one more year, it'd be his league. I think he really understands. Joker? Yeah, I think he's in that position where like as a shooting guard, you know, a shooting guard got more ability to take over a game than a center. Like, you got to wait till somebody give it to you. But you can still be dominant. Pause. But when it comes to, like, that shooting guard, you could really get the ball from end to end and do whatever you need to do. So I see, like, in a year, in 2025, he's going to really come into it. Like, pause, that nobody could do nothing with me. Because that's what he's doing right now. But I think it becomes more evident next year.
What do you think is going on with Booker this year? We haven't talked about him a lot. He hasn't been seen a lot. the prior 2 years, it was all this He's the next Kobe Bryant. He has Kobe Bryant mentality, yada, 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 so on and so forth. What is going on that he's not getting the shine or not looking the way he has been looking the last 2 years? What do you think it is?
I think right now they're trying to take the ball out of his hands. Pause. When they first was last year, he was more like the point guard. I think right now they're trying to work in different people and different schemes. And it's a whole different coach. Like when it was what's his name that went
Monty
to
Williams.
Monty Williams, it was Book's team. And then when KD came, KD was a part of that team, but it still felt like a little bit it was Book's team. Now it doesn't feel like that. It's almost like they're trying to change the culture, and the culture is regressing instead of progressing. It's getting worse.
Well, now let's discuss the Magic versus the Cavs. The Magic lost again, 96-86. Do you guys think the Magic has what it takes to win Game 3?
No, I take my words back when it comes to Cleveland. My goodness, pause. That nigga Donovan Mitchell did a move and dunk and went to dunk. And I was like, yo, he's really not playing with the Magic. I don't know who's on that team that thought they was guarding him, but he's looking like he does what he wants. I really like that team of Cleveland. Now that I actually sat down and watched them, they're my type of team.
Banchero, yeah. Banchero this, Banchero that. Big Five, Orlando, Florida.
Blue. Big Five, yeah, yeah, you're right.
He was Banchero all year. All year, Banchero this, Banchero that. Now, Cleveland's your type of team. Wow.
To be fair, though, Paulo is still doing his thing. He just can't carry the team himself.
You the one told me, Killer, that it changed from week to week.
You're right.
When I looked at Cleveland team, it reminded me a lot of our team growing up. Like, you got guards that get busy, and then you got these post guys that just do their job. And they're a very blue-collar team.
And very much under the radar because Donovan Mitchell missed a bunch of games. So, it isn't like they have a bunch of other superstars, even all-stars on the team. So, to me, they did really well when Donovan Mitchell was out, held on, and they're pretty much under the radar. You talk about everybody in the East. You sit there and talk about Boston. You sit there and talk about Philly, New York, Milwaukee, and Cleveland been in that little mix the whole time. Even talked about Orlando more than we talked about Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because how young they were and up and coming as a superstars. And Cleveland the whole time to me was like, good, good. Nobody's paying us no attention. Good. And they never really slipped out of playoff contention.
Yeah, I could see that Cleveland team that I saw yesterday. If they play like that, they could pretty much play with anybody, pause, in the East. Now, I'm not going to give them Boston, but anybody else they could win against.
I guess we'll see what happens in their next game. And then Michael Porter Jr. had former porn star Lana Rhodes on his podcast called Curious Mike, where she shared stories of NBA players and weird fetishes they have, such as ordering cookies with poop in it. Michael Porter Jr. then confirmed the rumors and said a lot of guys in the league have done so much stuff with so many pretty girls. Now they're over there messing with trannies, or now they're messing with dudes. So, Mace's face. Thoughts on their conversation and the insight they both shared during that sit-down interview.
Michael Porter is saying a lot. What is cookies with poop?
Because
I don't know how to respond to that. What do you mean by cookies with poop? I've never heard of that.
It's somebody's fetish out there, somebody in the league.
Eating a physical cookie.
I don't know what they do with it. She just said that was involved.
So, she was crazy, right?
I don't know.
Chocolate.
I don't know what they do with it. That was involved. Chips.
Chocolate-ish. That's crazy.
It's for chocolate-ish.
Yo, and to say somebody is actually doing this, you know, because if they brought it up, somebody is actually doing it. What would you do if you found out some of your favorite players, Cam, eat cookies with poop? would he still be your favorite player?
Bro, you know, if a nigga start walking funny, I start fucking with niggas. It don't take a lot
That's
for
why
me.
That's why.
It don't take a lot for me to start speaking to niggas, to start fucking with niggas. If you got your shoes tied wrong and I don't fuck with you no more, your laces is not laced right. So that's, you know, you just asking me to get a response out of me, nigga. You already know.
Yeah. He said cookies with poop. And then she talks about water sports like they want to be urinated on. That's sad I can't even talk about that. That ain't my.
All right, so first of all, a few things. This is Michael Porter Jr. from Denver, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up with your brother, nigga? Let's start there. You worrying about pooping the cookies? What are you going to do with the family? Your brother's gambling. He's out the league. I know mama love is upset. Stick in the family. You got to live your life too, so I'm not even mad about it. We want to know what's going on with your brother. Is he going overseas? Is he going to work for you? Is he going to be somebody for the league that says you shouldn't do this? I'm more interested in what's next for that nigga because he was still under a rookie contract. He's super duper young. Secondly, back to the topic. I don't know who wants poop in their cookies.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Would I cut them off? Yes, I would. I would absolutely cut you off if you eat poop with cookies. Cookies and poop, whatever.
I didn't say they were eating it. We don't know what they were doing.
Whatever it is, if you're interested in it, I'm out. Look, Biggie had a line on his, a skin on his album, Biggie Smalls. And he said, you know the bitch asked me to shit on her, right? So after I shit on her. So I asked my man Jacob York, who worked with Biggie for years, he said, that's a true story.
I said,
it's a true story. He said, yeah, the big bitch wanted Big to shit on her. And he did. And I said,
that was a tall nigga.
So the poop on cookies, I'm not saying shit ain't out there like that. Look, I had women ask me to urinate on them. Yeah, I have. And I did.
But to eat poop, though.
Yeah, and yeah, I it's did. Different. Yeah. Look, if you want to get pissed on, that's on you. I pissed on a few bitches. A few different times. That's what they wanted. And that was in their house.
How do you look at her the next day?
I ain't spend a night, nigga. What are you talking about? It's the next day.
When she call you, what are you doing?
Me?
You
me
answer?
Yeah. Yeah, look, man. Yeah, look, man. Treat them like you meet them, Myrtle. Look, I don't know why you be forgetting your own work. Bro. Look, I'll tell you one time, bitch asked me to pee on her. Pee right in her face, right? He was born in her, whatever. I seen her next time she came to my crib, she was in my kitchen cooking. Walk right over and peed on her while she's cooking. She said, yo, why you do that? I said, that's what you like. I thought you wanted to get pissed on. It's random. Nah, when we doing it, I like to get peed on. I said, I didn't know when you liked it. I just thought you liked it at any given time. Nah, don't do that when I'm cooking. I said, I don't know the boundaries.
Yeah.
Yo, listen. This worked everything I love, man. This worked everything I love. Walk right on her and pissed on her while she was cooking. Had an attitude like she didn't ask me to pee on her previously. Whatever. So people into their own shit. Don't pee on me and do not send me no shitty cookies or nothing. Now.
Now. I can't
now,
breathe.
Now, yeah. Now, what I will say is this, Murder. I've been squirted on when I'm having sex. And a lot of people will sit there and say, Cam, that's just piss. That ain't. Look, I know what grown women piss smell like. It's not all piss. That's just clear water. It's pure. Now, if a bitch squirting is pissing, then I have to have an attitude. Now, you're pissing. Know the difference between squirt and piss. It's a difference. I like a little squirt here and there because it let me know I did something. it makes me feel good. Like, yeah, fuck this bitch to squirt. The bitch hit the ceiling. last thing I'll say about this topic is that I seen a comedian one time because they said something that you said Michael Porter Jr. said they had so many women and now they fucking with trannies and men and so on and so forth. I seen a comedian say this. And I don't even remember, but I remember the line because I was like, yeah, I'm with that nigga. He said he was just getting to Hollywood and he was trying to be a breakthrough in his acting career. And I don't even remember this comedian. He was just really funny. And he said, you know, you get to Hollywood, you meet all these big time movie stars and so on and so forth. And they say they fuck so many bitches, it's no more bitches to fuck that they just start fucking with niggas. So the comedian was like, look, could somebody tell me what number that is so I can stop about 7 bitches short before I want to fuck a nigga? So let's say after 2,000 bitches, you want to go fuck, I'm going to fuck niggas. I fucked all the bitches in Hollywood. He said, I'm stopping in 1993 before y'all even confuse me with that, which I thought was hilarious. But I don't understand how you have so many chicks that now you say, I'm going to try something different. It's too many women in the world for me. And I'm not knocking y'all. Do your thing. I'm not in a bedroom with you. That's just not my preference. No piss on me. No shitty cookies. And a different gender for my preference. Michael Porter Jr., what I'm more concerned about is, why do you know this? And who do you be with to know this? Who's telling you this? Where's your source of information coming from? Are you in a room and just acting like it's, you know, somebody talk about themselves and blame on somebody else? Like, yo, you know I got a friend, right? And they in trouble. Is this, are you talking about yourself? And I'm not going to put that on you, but me and Mace, we've been around industry and sports and all this so long. We don't know them circles. At least I don't know the circles. Yeah, I don't know the circles. So for you to know the circle, kind of why.
I will just add, I'm actually totally not shocked. The conversation. And
he gotta watch his words. He gotta watch his words. He make a lot of money. Sound like an NBA freak off.
Well, he didn't say any names. He didn't, you know, preface any teams. It was very vague, but you wouldn't be able to tell who he was talking about. But these are very open conversations within the league, especially being like a woman. I hear a lot of things.
What
so
you
I'm
hear?
Not shocked.
What do you hear?
Yes,
a lot of things.
Steph.
So I'm not shocked. There's a lot
hear?
Be going on.
Lambo stats. Say it.
Yo, your
no.
honor, it is what it is. What do you hear?
No. There's a lot of things be happening. Basically, what he is saying, like, he doesn't have to be in that circle because that is just...
Yeah,
that's
but who's
things
saying
that happen.
It? Who's saying it? Because we didn't
gotta
hear
be
it.
Said, things happen and it's like, you know what's going on.
And see,
on.
That's another thing. See, for me personally, that's why I don't be jacking a lot of shit. Because it's always, and I'm not talking about you,
yeah,
Steph.
Yeah, yeah.
Even him, like, you ain't going to pinpoint niggas out or give us a round about what you talking about. I can't jack it. It's just, it's invisible
it's
clickbait.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yo, you know niggas like shitty cookies, right? Well, yo, who, man? Like, yo, y'all niggas, is this clickbait? Because who likes this shitty cookies? Give us a hint.
Yeah, niggas want to know who like the poop in their cookies.
Yeah, and then Stat cosigns it, and nobody's giving no.
Yeah, you can't be drinking Gatorade behind niggas to eat.
Yeah,
I mean you shouldn't be drinking Gatorade anyway behind niggas, but
yeah, don't
definitely.
Pass me no blunt, nigga. Like,
yeah.
Yo, you eat shit. You know what I'm saying? Like. That's why I like when we be talking about certain shit, I'm like, I'm not going to put, not this conversation,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm not going to put that on them. I'm not going to put this on them. I'm not going to do that. Because once you go in my cam, I don't fuck with you box, it's no opening it for people to come back outside of it. Because I'm going to do all the due diligence before I put you in that box, pause. Because once you're in there, you're in there. So I'm not going to do that until I get all the facts. But I can't go with the... Surround the industry and
yeah, what industry?
Yeah, so if you don't want to say I ain't jacking it till some proof come out now, if we hear about
yes,
it later,
we can't go with that.
Okay. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. Thanks for watching, and as always, it is what it is. Super Max, like when they doing.